All right, we are in business. Wow. Welcome, everyone. Don't worry, I know it's not your first time here, all right? So we're good, Adam. Welcome, everyone, to today's English group message. So happy you could be here with us all. For those who don't know, I'm Pastor Matt, and today we are continuing towards the end of our series in Ephesians. Right now, we are currently in a section of a letter where the Apostle Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus and is speaking about the armor of God and talking about the spiritual battle that all Christians are a part of, whether they realize it or not, today, right? And now we are entering the final part of this section, which focuses on prayer, which I'll get into later. But let me ask you all this. If I show this picture to you, would you be able to recognize this? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I shouldn't have let PowerPoint design this because you can't see the sign on the shirt that says Verizon. So for those who don't know, in the early 2000s, for many years, there was this ongoing commercial of this guy wearing a Verizon uniform going around different places in the U.S. saying, "Can you hear me now?" The whole point was that he was trying to show that Verizon had the best network where you could, where when you're on the phone, you could be heard from anywhere, any place, I guess, that he was traveling to. And the reason why I thought about this is, you know, it's Father's Day today, and I was just thinking about my own father and how sometimes I hear him talking to his father on the phone, right? If anybody here has ever talked to a really, really old person on the phone, they maybe might be able to relate to this. But, you know, I might be sitting in the house, and then my dad might get a call from his dad, so my grandpa, and I would hear my dad screaming on the phone, saying, "Can you hear me now?" Right? Apparently, my grandpa's hard of hearing, so my dad has to talk really, really loud for him to be able to hear him, right? For my grandpa to be able to hear my dad. And it just made me think of our Heavenly Father. You know, when it comes to when we talk to our Heavenly Father, how clear is what we're saying going to Him? And the point I want to say is that no matter where we are, no matter what we say or how we say it, God can always hear us. And why is that important? Why is that important? Because in the midst of this section in the letter of Paul, where he talks about the spiritual battle, you know, we talked about the power, the enemy, the armor, and now we're getting to the prayer. Prayer is a key portion of this whole spiritual battle. And why is that? Why is that? If anybody here has ever watched any war movie, especially involving aliens, one of the things that tends to happen in these battles is the targeting of communication systems. That what happens is that when you target an enemy's communication system, their whole strategy, their whole armed forces, they fall apart because they become disorganized. They're separated from the intelligence from above. And that matters when it comes to the spiritual battle that we are all in as Christians. That when it comes to us being connected with God, our communication with God is important when it comes to us being able to not only survive, but to win this battle. So we see here that Paul's ending the spiritual battle section in the letter of Ephesians by talking about prayer. And there are three things in this section of prayer that I want to highlight from Paul to the church in Ephesus. The first thing is that he invites them to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Second is to pray while alert. And the third is to pray for all the Lord's people. So one, pray in the Spirit. Two, pray while alert. And three, pray for all the Lord's people. So I'm going to read the passage first, then pray, and then we'll get to the first point. All right? And here's what it says. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So just pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us to come together to worship you as our Father in heaven. We know that we may not always be the best children, but you love us nonetheless. So I just pray now that as you speak through me by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you open our hearts and minds to the message that you have intended for each one of us. And however you want us to live our lives as a result of this message, moving forward, may you be able to help us make those changes with thankfulness and joyfulness because you love us. So we thank you, Lord, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So to the first point, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. And there are two ways I want to break this up, all right? I'm going to explain why do we pray in the Spirit. And then I'm going to follow that up with how do we pray in the Spirit, all right? But before we get into the why and how, there's a very important question for me to ask even before that. And the question is, who is God to you? Who is God to you? For example, if you heard someone say that ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. To paraphrase, whatever you want, just ask for it and you'll get it. When you hear someone say that, how are you likely to think of them? How are you likely to view them, right? I have two pictures here on the screen. Can anyone take a guess at which picture, what is each picture? God and a genie. Go ahead.
Genie.
Yeah, God and a genie, right? All right. I think many of us may know what God is, but can anyone explain what a genie is? No, yeah.
And it's a lamp. Okay, a lamp. I just watched it, and then you have three wishes, and you can make a wish.
Yes, yes. Actually, I would have called it a teapot too, right? Because come on, anybody's gone to dim sum, right? Anybody's gone to dim sum, like you pour out the tea, it's like the same thing.
Yeah.
But the point is, what you highlighted, the three wishes, right? Three wishes, three things that you could ask for and you just receive. So when you hear these verses, which comes from Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, describing how God can treat his children, some people might forget God who he is and think of him as a genie, someone who grants wishes. And the thing about granting wishes is that without some guidance, things can go off the rails, especially if you ever watch Aladdin, right? Things can go off the rails. So that goes into the reason, why do we pray in the Spirit? Why do we pray in the Spirit? And the Bible, God's Word, tells us what we need to know. There are two particular passages that I want to highlight. One from James chapter 4 and one from Romans 8. Here we go. James chapter 4. It says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have, because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." All right? So right away, it's saying here that the author of James is saying that, look, you may be asking for many things, just as the Bible tells you to do, asking things of God. But oftentimes, if you don't get what you ask for, there's a decent chance that you're not receiving it because you're asking it with the wrong heart. Right? You're asking with the wrong heart. You're asking with the wrong mind. that your aim, your target, your motivation, your intention is off base. And by not receiving it, God is kind of, proactively preventing you from getting yourself into trouble by giving you what you asked for. But God doesn't want us to just have unanswered prayers, so He's given us a way to be able to pray in a way that is in line with what He desires for us. And that goes into Romans chapter 8. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Meaning that you may have your wants, you may have your desires. They may not be great wants, they may not be great desires. The things that dominate your heart may not be the things that God wants to occupy your heart. So God has given you a helper to be able to shape your heart, to shape your mind in a way that allows you to pray according to what God would want for you, right? Believe it or not, God wants what is best for you. Even though sometimes we feel like life doesn't really feel that way, life doesn't go that way, but the Bible tells us God wants what is best for you, which is basically comes down to a close relationship with God. And what He's done is that He's given you a helper to allow you to pray in a way, to have a heart that desires things, to have a mind that thinks of things that will shape that kind of future for you. All right? So that begs us to ask, okay, God has given us the Holy Spirit to be able to shape our prayers, to be able to, I guess, pray for the right things. So then, how does that work? How does that work? Well, there are two particular passages that I want to highlight. One from Jude and one from 1 John. It says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. All right? So in this first passage, it's saying that, look, if you want to be able to pray that in a way that the Holy Spirit wants you to, you start off by building your faith. You start off by building your faith. Now, for many of us, if you've been in church long enough, you know that building your faith entails, you know, reading the Bible, praying regularly, going to Sunday service, worshiping God, doing your own devotionals at home, reading the Bible on your own. You build your faith, and the more you build your faith, the more you know God better. And the more you know God better, the more you are likely to have your heart and mind shaped in a way that God desires for you, and the more you're likely to pray a prayer that He would so gladly want to give you, your requests. And this is actually hammered down in the next passage in 1 John, where it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. So for anybody who thinks that God is a scary being that we can't really approach, here it's saying that we can have confidence as long as we have faith, as long as we are His children. Saying that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. Meaning that if we are genuine, if we are honest, if we are truly desiring to be His faithful children, and that everything that we do, everything that we say is dedicated to glorifying and to doing our best for God, if we pray a prayer that matches that goal, here we have the confidence that God will help us receive that. That's what it's saying. So when we take all, I know I said a bunch of Bible verses right now, and it takes a little bit to take it all in. Hopefully you had a chance to write it down, though I saw no one writing at all. So, but luckily, these are posted online if you ever want to reference it, okay? Okay. The point is, how do we paraphrase? Oh, then you have very, very subtle handwriting. I'm sorry. Okay, one person wrote it down, right? But what's the bottom line for us here? What does this mean to us? It means that the Holy Spirit moves us by faith to pray. Without faith, there's no Holy Spirit. Also, vice versa, without Holy Spirit, there's no faith. So basically, the Holy Spirit uses our faith to move us to pray. All right? Secondly, the Holy Spirit gives us the humility to confess we need God. Just to make sure that we're all on the same page, humility is basically the state that we're in where we lower ourselves to recognize our flaws, to recognize our weaknesses. Humility is what allows us to, basically it's the opposite of being prideful, right? So the Holy Spirit gives us that so we understand and acknowledge that we need God. And when we know that we need God, we are more likely to pray, right? Thirdly, the Holy Spirit enables us to put God's will first before ours. All right? Without the Holy Spirit, our selfish nature takes full form, takes full force, and as a result, it's our needs before what God wants for us. It's us thinking we know what's best rather than God knows what's best. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot overcome that. So that's something that we need to make sure that we understand about the Holy Spirit and why the Holy Spirit is so important when it comes to our prayer life. Fourthly, the Holy Spirit reminds us to pray with the truth of Scripture. Now, we can say a whole lot of things out there, right? We can say a whole lot of things in our prayers, but if it doesn't match if it says something opposite of what Scripture tells us, then that's a red flag. I remember when I was in seminary and I was in preaching class, and one of my professors said that a long time ago, he was at a conference where someone there and then said out loud, I guess really without thinking or praying about it, said that the Holy Spirit once told me that I should cheat on my wife, right? He said that. He's like, the Holy Spirit was like moving my heart, and I just felt like my marriage was done, so I should have gone after this other woman. And when my professor said that, he heard that, he's like, I can't even begin to wonder what was this guy thinking. Because obviously what he said was the exact opposite of what Scripture tells us to when it comes to marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman, right? That's not to be broken by adultery. So clearly, whatever that guy heard, whatever that guy prayed about, was not from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reminds us to pray with the truth of Scripture, right? Fifthly, the Holy Spirit helps us wait and listen for God's response. Holy Spirit helps us wait and listen for God's response. How many people here would consider themselves patient people? No hands raised.
Jonathan and Bernie are not here.
Oh, okay, Jonathan and Bernie are not here. Maybe that was on purpose for emphasis, right? It's one thing to say no hands raised. It's another thing to say two hands raised. But the point is that, I mean, it shows that for us people, especially living in today's society, it is hard for us to wait on anything. I mean, back then, it was hard for them to wait for anything. Abraham and Sarah, if people remember that story, God says, you will have a child born naturally to you two. But could they wait? No, they couldn't. And they tried to do things their own way, and we know what hot mess that got them into, right? But the point is that the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to wait and listen for God's response. That is why it's so important when it comes to the Holy Spirit's role in our prayer life. Pray in the Spirit. But not only are we supposed to pray in the Spirit, we're supposed to pray while being alert. Pray while being alert. And then some of you might be asking, well, what are the other states that we might find ourselves when it comes to life in prayer? Well, now, you may judge the next group of people that we're about to look into, but to be honest, have you found yourself in the same boat as well? Especially probably at a prayer meeting? Here, this is what I mean by that. In Matthew chapter 26, even though it's hard to read, you probably know the story already. This is the story where Jesus invites his disciples to go with him to the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that he was going to be betrayed and eventually crucified. I'll read it real quick. All right. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he told them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them what?
Sleeping.
"Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back again, he again found them what?
Sleeping.
Exactly, because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still
sleeping
and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered to the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." You can't pray if you're sleeping, right? And sometimes, if we're to be honest, if we don't understand what prayer is, if our hearts are not ready for prayer, it could be easy to find yourself sleeping during prayer, right? I can't imagine. I'll be honest when I say that before I was a pastor, there have been some occasions where I've been in some long prayer meetings. And after a long day of work, the older people, they love their prayer, but we should love our prayer too, all right? So yes, we should all love our prayer, but the older people really love their prayer. And when they have their prayers late at night, and after you come back from a long day of work, you find yourself perhaps drifting off during prayer meeting. I mean, at least I did. Has anybody here ever found themselves ever drifting off during prayer meeting? Okay. Then you're all better than your pastor. But at least I got one honest head nod. Thank you. But the point is that, when you're tired, your eyes are closed to pray, and you hear some very calm, soothing voices praying in the background, unless you're ready, unless your heart's prepared, unless your mind's sharp and focused, you can find yourselves asleep. And when you're asleep, you can't pray. And in this case, the disciples, even though Jesus invited them to pray with him, even though from a different distance, they still couldn't do it. So you need to be at least awake to be able to pray. But being awake is not necessarily enough. Right? Being awake is not necessarily enough. And here's why. Luke chapter 21. It says, "Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Here's why being awake is not enough. At least if you're asleep, there's not a lot of sinful input that's really going into your mind and heart from the world, right? Because you're unconscious. But once you are awake, your mind and your heart are fair game for the world and the ruler of this world to really work his magic on you. And what I mean by that is that when you're awake, you're receiving input from the people around you, or from the people not around you, maybe on social media, from the news, or anything else. You are susceptible, the moment you're awake, to be influenced by all these aspects of sin in this world that could lead to your heart being weighed down with carousing. I really should have looked up what carousing means. I when I hear carousing, I think of like getting really, really drunk, but then you have drunkenness right there, so. Partying, yes. So you talk about partying, you're talking about too much alcohol, and the anxieties of life. These are just examples of how you could be negatively impacted while awake. And what this is saying here is that you could be awake, but just being awake does not automatically mean you are in prayer mode. That's why it says here, be always on the watch. Be always on the watch while you are awake of how you might need prayer to protect you in life. That's why it's not good enough to be asleep. Can't pray. It's not good enough just being awake. Because if you're not praying while awake, you are susceptible. You are vulnerable to all the attacks that we've talked about the last three sermons. So what do you need to do? You need to be alert. You need to be alert. And that leads us to James chapter 5. Here it says, is anyone among you in trouble? All right, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Here in James chapter 5, you have the perspective of a person who's praying in all instances, all types of situations, sickness, sadness, when it comes to sin and trying to confess that. All these different situations of life have an aspect which they can be prayed for, and an alert person watches for them. And not only does he watch for them, but he acts. So this leads me to ask, which are you? Which are you? Are you asleep? Are you awake? Or are you alert? Can people take a guess which is which? Which is this one? Asleep. This one? Awake, yes. And this, alert. Yes. Which are you? Because depending on which are you, if you are alert, then you got to be praying for all the Lord's people, which brings us to our last point. Pray for all the Lord's people. So that means praying for your peers. Praying for your peers. You're wondering who your prayers are? Peers are? Look around you. Go ahead, look around you, literally, right now. These are your peers, right? Family, friends, coworkers, fellow students. These are your peers. And you could pray for them in different settings, whether it be accountability partners. For those who are not sure who accountability partners are, they're kind of like your spiritual best friends, right? Your spiritual best friends who you're more likely to talk to them about whatever's going on in your life. And not only are you just talking to them about whatever's going on in your life that might be heavy or hard, or whatever drama you might be experiencing, but you are praying with them, right? Encouraging them and following up with them the next time. Then you can also pray for your peers in small groups or your Sunday school classes, or prayer meetings. all different settings in which we could be praying for our peers. Now, not only are we meant to pray for our peers, but we're also meant to pray for our church leaders. Remember, pray for all the Lord's people, even the ones that we think maybe don't need so much prayer. But that's not true. Because how does this particular passage end? And Paul says, pray also for me. This is the Apostle Paul talking, right? You know, if you were here for last week's Pastor Millen's message, you know, Paul's like the guy, right? And yet, despite being the guy in the early church, he's also asking for prayer, saying that whenever I speak, that words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And by saying that, he's saying that despite being Paul, despite being the apostle that saw Jesus and got blinded by him, that despite being that guy, he himself is not perfect. He himself is not invincible. He himself has chinks like in his armor. And he's saying that even I need prayer. I need your prayer. So in the same way, despite how altogether Pastor Lee may look or how altogether I might look, we need your prayer too. Because oftentimes, if it seems like we don't need your prayer, it's because God has sustained us in a really, really good way. But that's not possible without constant prayer going on. So pray for your church leaders. And not only do you do that, you pray for the global church. Pray for the global church. There's church beyond these walls. There's church beyond the church that's across the street, that Methodist or Presbyterian church that's right across Hillcrest, right? There's church beyond the United States. There's church beyond this continent. Pray for the church in all, because that is what God desires for his people. Everyone praying for each other. And here's the conclusion. Here's how to conclude. Before this, we spent a large portion of the passage talking about the armor of God. Looks pretty cool, right? I mean, you got the shield of faith, you got the helmet of salvation, you got the breastplate of righteousness, you got the belt of truth, you have the greaves of peace, or the sword of the Spirit. It's very fancy. Right? It looks wonderful, and you look at it, you get pumped up, be like, I'm set, I'm ready to go. But the thing is that, what makes all this possible? It's prayer. Because if you do a Google search, you'll come to realize that there's a lot of connection between the armor of God and prayer, especially in Google Images. That these are just three samples of armor of God prayers. They're online. And the reason why is because without prayer, wearing the armor of God is not possible. Without prayer, wearing the armor of God is not possible. So if you want to be this cool, you have to do this first. You have to pray. I mean, let me read one. All right, I'll read one. I'll read the middle one. Armor of God, prayer. Father God, I put on and stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around my waist. I am safe and secure with the breastplate of righteousness guarding my heart from evil, helping me live a life that honors you. I diligently put on the gospel shoes of peace, willing to go wherever you ask of me, even Africa. I take and stand behind the shield of faith, protected against Satan's fiery darts of doubt, fear, lies, and deceit. Now on my head, I place the helmet of salvation, keeping my mind focused on you. I grab hold in my hands the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, sharp and true. I am prepared to live today in spiritual vitality in Jesus' name. Amen. That's just one example of many possible armor of God prayers that you can pray. But once again, without the prayer, you can't wear the armor of God. So the question is, are you wearing the armor of God today? If not, then pray. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this message about prayer, Lord. we realize that we cannot win the spiritual battle without the armor of God, and without the armor of God, in order to wear the armor of God, we need to pray, Lord. So I just pray that if any of us have been lax, if anyone has not been taking prayer as seriously as this pastor tells us we should, may the Holy Spirit move us by faith to do that, Lord. May the Holy Spirit use our faith to guide us in our prayer so we can wear the armor of God, so we can live a life for you. And for anyone who maybe doesn't know you yet, may this message help them get closer to you to understand what you desire for them, and that hopefully in your time, in your way, you will help them come to faith as well. So we thank you again for this Father's Day. We can remember you are our faithful Father in heaven that's given us everything we need to live for you. And we give you our thanks. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.